going to go into Romans. I'm going to continue. I preached around this area, but I'm going to continue along this trail. I preached about this Sunday, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper than I could go in a preaching setting. I can do more in a teaching setting than I could before. So we're going to go to Romans 8, and let me see. Let me see where we want to start. Verse 14. Yeah, verse 14. That'd be really good. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then this verse is what I have been preaching about this week. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Glory to God. We'll stop right there for now. And I'm going to talk about the illumination of his grace. The illumination of his grace, because grace can be there and not be illuminated. Grace to go forward, not grace just in terms of mercy, but grace in terms of empowerment, grace in terms of inheritance, grace in terms of understanding who we are in the kingdom of God is in fact a grace all by itself. And so we're going to deal with that today. And I think you're going to be blessed by the word of God. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon who talked about going to visit an old lady who was living in a hut. No water, no electricity, none of her needs were being met. She was impoverished. She was in a terrible situation. And he noticed over on the wall, there was a document, a piece of paper, as it were, that she had pinned up to the wall. And he went over there and started reading it, and come to find out, it was from the employer that had employed this woman who was now deceased, and that she had left this woman a home, and she had left her provisions for the rest of her life for her to be taken care of, but it was just hanging on the wall. And the reason it was hanging on the wall is because the woman couldn't read it. That illustration sets the stage for where we are as a contemporary 21st century church. God has left all kinds of things to us that we are not taking the benefit of because we're not reading the word of God. We are going to church and we're listening at preachers for encouragement, but not empowerment. What I want to do is kind of illuminate this for you so that you can read and better understand who you are as a child of God. And so excuse me for being laborious in the Bible class, but my hope is to take us beyond the baby food of everything's going to be all right down into the more meaty substance of why I have a right as a child of God to expect certain things in the kingdom of God and how that is transmitted to us. Okay, and this scripture is really, really good for that. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they shall be called the sons of God. Before this text, he has talked about not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. He's trying to make them understand that everything that they're going to receive, they're going to receive as a result of their relationship with the Spirit of God. Why is that so important? It's very important. For this reason, it's very important because he's writing to the Romans, and the Romans were primarily Gentiles. There were some Jews that lived in Rome. There were various religious sects that lived in Rome, but for the most part, the Romans were Gentiles. And the Roman Empire had taken over almost everything. Later on, we will see in history, we will see Great Britain take over almost everything and colonize all over the world. But before Great Britain did that, Rome had done that. And it had colonies of power and influence that extended its authority over into areas like Jerusalem and other places were up under the dominion of the Roman Empire, like some of the Caribbean islands at one time were up under the sovereign of Great Britain, in the same way Jerusalem was up under the sovereign power of Rome. Now, the Romans were not Jews, so they did not embrace the Jews' religion, but they had politically overthrew them and had power, and they were up under his control. Now, Paul is now going to the oppressor, as it were, to evangelize him. And Paul is a citizen of Rome, though he is by birth a Jew. And when he's writing to the Romans, he's writing to them because they have not entertained the possibility prior to Christianity that they could be a part of the lineage of God and connected to God. So he's introducing to them the notion of sonship. Had he been writing to the Jews, he would not have had to discuss this, because you will remember over in Exodus, when God was delivering the children of Israel out from under the hand of Pharaoh, he said, "Israel is my son, my firstborn son." So from thousands of years ago, they have understood their relationship with God, though that relationship is expressed under the bondage of legalism and rules. And so when Paul says that in this, let me see here, when he says in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," he distinguishes the bondage of legalism from the selection or the election of adoption. And this is a continuation from what I taught last week when I was teaching about Hagar, and that we are not children, that we are children of the promise, as Isaac was. In other words, we were born free, we were born liberated, we were born set apart. And this premise runs all through the New Testament. It runs all through the New Testament. It becomes very difficult to understand it, particularly the Pauline epistles, if you don't begin to understand the conflict of the time, as they begin to understand the Gentiles were embracing Christianity more readily than the Jews were. And now the struggle became, how much Judaism do we place upon them? Should they eat certain kinds of meats and abstain from certain kinds of meats? Should they be circumcised again? These were the debates amongst the early apostles. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. And now he's explaining to them that you are not just followers of God, you're not just disciples of God, but the relationship is more intimate, that ye are the sons of God because you are led by the Spirit of God. Then he goes on to say that you are not up under bondage. You're not up under legalism. You're not up under bondage. You're not sons through the flesh, through bondage, through ceremonies, through rituals, through routines, through not walking too far, not eating on this day, and not doing this on that day. No. He said, you have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption. Now let's stop there, because adoption is saying it expresses the tenets whereby we are included in the family, though we are not genetically connected to the family. We are adopted into the family. When you think of adoption, it gives you all the legal rights as if you were an heir according to lineage and blood, but you're adopted. You're adopted into the family. So the Gentiles were adopted into the family. And I want to stop there because I think that's important for us to understand. I want to go deeper into that in just a minute. A scripture just popped up in my mind that I should have had ready, but I wasn't planning to use it, but I'm going to use it now. Go to Ephesians for just a second. In Ephesians, he expresses it this way, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations or our lifestyles in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. By grace. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his what? Grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God is showing off how gracious he is, and that we don't have a merited reason to be in the family, but we have been adopted into the family. He's showing off how his grace is so inclusive and not exclusive, that he is lavishly and lasciviously extending it out to people who had no right. And now ye are the sons of God. Okay, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in love. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. In other words, the Jews call you the uncircumcised in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, watch this, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's how he describes them. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. These aliens have now become sons in Romans. So at one point in your life, you were aliens from the commonwealth, and I don't have time to really get into it. Let me just touch it a little bit. The commonwealth, I mean, the wealth is common to Israel. But now in Romans, you have been adopted into this family. That's how you have access into this family. When we think of adoption, we think of adoption like adopting a child, like you find a child that needs a parent and you adopt that child into your family and you make them a part of the family. And that's a very good illustration. But another illustration that is seldom used but equally as relevant is marriage. Marriage is adoption. So in a traditional marriage, my wife, for example, was a Jameson. When I married her, she became a Jakes. I adopted her over into the family through the rites of marriage. And because of the rites of marriage, now she is Sarita Jameson Jakes. Okay, so if you understand that whole rite of adoption, this is what Paul is addressing. I'm back over in Romans 8. He is talking to us about adoption. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the feeling, on one hand, he's saying we're adopted, but whereby we cry, Abba, it's almost like the word Abba, the closest English word is daddy. Whereby we cry, Abba, daddy, father. He says the feeling is the cry of a newborn baby. The experience is being born again, that we are born again and thereby adopted into the royal family because Christ has extended God's grace in drawing the Gentiles into the family. So you can say, I'm in the family now. Yeah, I'm in the family. How did you get in the family? I was adopted by Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ has adopted me into the family. And now that I am adopted into the family, that comes with certain rights and privileges. That comes with some certain authorities that I did not have before. That comes with influence that I didn't have before. And it also ties me into the commonwealth of Israel. And when you start talking about in Ephesians, remember we're talking about the commonwealth of Israel? When you start talking about the commonwealth of Israel, that wealth is first and foremost the wealth of being fingered by God, identified by God, pointed out by God, favored by God, preferred by God, selected by God. Not just birth, but selected. Adopted children are selected. He selected me by his grace and brought me into the royal family that I might have an inheritance. But like the woman that I mentioned at the beginning of the Bible class, if I don't understand that I am elected into the family, that I am selected, that I'm adopted into the family, I could be living in a shanty and there's a house left to me. I could be without water and lights and gas, all of that exists for me, but because I don't read the Word of God, I go to church, but I don't really read the Word of God, then the promise is hanging on the wall. And I'm living beneath my privilege when I could be more and I could do more and I could have more and I could see more if somebody would unlock to me or illuminate his grace to me in such a way that I begin to understand what is mine. Okay, now my children, let's talk about this. Because from here, he begins to go, and if children... Let me read this 16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, let me stop there. I want to get into that for a minute. I'm excited. So I'm trying to give you everything it was. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you're a child of God, you have to know that inside of yourself. It's not up to me. It's not up to what people say or what they think. You know in your heart, in your spirit, that you are the children of God. If you take a minute and go over to Acts 10:44, you will see where Peter was preaching, and he was preaching to the Gentiles. And while Peter was yet preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because also was poured out upon the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues. Undeniable that the Spirit had filled them. And he said, can any man forbid these men water who have the Holy Ghost as well as we? And then they baptized them in the name of the Lord. They had to take them in because now they've been adopted. The Spirit reached around their religious ideologies and ideas and filled them while Peter was yet talking. He didn't even lay hands on them. Peter really was doubtful to the authenticity of the Gentiles' experience. He had an aversion for it. And I've been teaching this for a while. I'm trying to get it to sink into your head. But God didn't ask Peter to lay hands on them. While Peter was yet preaching, he just reached around them, filled them with the Holy Ghost without getting permission or meeting with the board or talking to the committee. Now the Spirit of God has now bore witness with their spirit that they are the children of God, which is exactly what this text is talking about here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you have that witness? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that testimony of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are legitimately a child of God, not just a church member, not just somebody who thinks well of God, not just somebody who has pleasant thoughts about God, but somebody who really understands that you have been adopted into the royal family? And that now, come on, let's go into verse 17, because this is when it really, really, really gets good. And if children, then heirs of God. He says, if you have been adopted into the family, that doesn't just mean that you get to sit down at the table and eat and that you've got a bedroom in the house. It also means that you are heirs of God. You are heirs of God. You are heirs of God. It also means that because you have been adopted into the royal family, that God has left you an inheritance. It's your inheritance to be blessed, to prosper, to heal, to go forward, to have access to God, to be able to be heard, to be included in the family. You remember when the woman came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil," and Jesus said, "It is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs." All of that is erased in this text, because that person who was considered a dog or an alien or outside of the contract has now been brought nigh. Now you can eat the children's bread right at the table with the children, because now are ye the sons of God. So she was wanting healing, and Jesus described healing as the children's bread. So when you start talking about being an heir, he's saying, I fix this bread for the kids. And the woman says, okay, she says, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. And here this woman was a Gentile. And she said, okay, let the children have the bread. I just need a crumb. She had so much faith in what the children were eating that she said, if I get a crumb of it, my life will never be the same. Now dig down into this and understand that this Gentile woman, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, separated and set apart, has so much faith in the God that the children of God already have, that her faith is more exceptional than the children. It's like this. If you've been good parents and you raise your children, they don't have anything to compare you to. So sometimes they take you for granted. But some other child next door is saying, oh, I wish I had that experience. And your children can't relate to it because they have nothing to compare it to. Paul is now bringing in the neighbor's children to the table and setting them down not only to experience what it's like to have a family, but also to be an heir of that family. It could be possible that you're like that woman who's living in the shanty, in your health, in your mind, in your spirit, in your finances, in every area of your life, not knowing that right up on the wall is a will that's been left to you, that has left you all kinds of things that you're not enjoying that were meant for you, because you don't understand that you've been adopted into the royal family, and that because you are sons, now you are an heir of God. You remember the old song we grew up singing in the Baptist church, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." You remember the, oh, what a foretaste of glory to be. On down to the heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. You remember the song. So heir of salvation, heir. I inherited as a child of God. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm an heir. I get the children's bread. I get the children's promise. I get the blessings of God, even though historically, ancestrally, I have not always served him. Now, those who were once aliens of the commonwealth of Israel have been brought nigh. So this whole notion of being a believer means that I am a child of Abraham. I don't have to argue about whether we're legitimately the Jews or not, because I have been adopted into the royal family. And even if I were not legitimately a Jew, I'm adopted into the royal family and thereby an heir and a recipient of the commonwealth of Israel. All of that belongs to me because I am his. Now here, Paul, let's go deeper into this. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, a joint heir, those are two different things. It's one thing to be an heir. I'm an heir of God. It's another thing to be a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir means everything he gets, I get too. Okay? So if there's no sickness in him, I don't have to receive sickness in me. If he is exalted, I am exalted. If he has been accepted in the blood, I have to be accepted in the blood. You know why? Because I'm a joint heir. I'm a joiner. And if you go to Ephesians and read in Ephesians, you'll read that God hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're joint heirs. We're tied together. We're connected together. God has a plan for your life. And all I need to do is illuminate his grace to you so that you begin to see some of the things. We're going to go deeper in this, but this is getting good. So that you begin to see some of the things that God has in store for you and some of the things that God has for you. We quote this verse all the time. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. But it hath been revealed unto us by his Spirit. May not be verbatim, but that's pretty close. By his Spirit. It has been revealed unto us by his Spirit. Tied to this, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit is trying to show you that he has more for you than where you are right now. And when I say more, I don't want to reduce more down to tangible things, because there are heathens that have tangible things. Of course he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. We have that right. We have that expectation. We have that hope. We have that assurance. But when you start talking about the wealth of his wisdom and of his grace and of his mercy and of his favor and of his hand over our lives, you cannot minimize that down to jewelry and watches and rings and cars and houses, because the wealth is so much more than stuff. It includes stuff, but it's much more than stuff. Like peace belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. Joy belongs to me. Contentment belongs to me. And yes, prosperity belongs to me. Healing is the children's bread. It's undeniable. It belongs to me. I have a right to it. Understanding what you have inherited is important, because you're an heir of salvation. You're an heir of salvation. You've been purchased by God, born of his Spirit, filled with his love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Did you understand that you have been adopted into the royal family, that God has a plan for your life that exceeds anything you have ever imagined in all of your life? Run quickly over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, an inheritance incorruptible, incorruptible, and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God has so much reserved in heaven for you. Now, when it says reserved in heaven for you, I don't want you to read that heaven is the inheritance. He's saying it's reserved in heaven for you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's mine in heaven, it will be mine down here. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Loose what you have reserved for me in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you start reading about the kingdom of God, you're reading about the inheritance that God has for you. If you're walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, maybe that doesn't mean anything. But if you're walking in the Spirit, now let's go to Acts 20, verse 32 for a minute. Acts 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about the illumination of his grace. So Paul says in Acts 20, he's getting ready to lead them. And he said, I commend you to God. I turn you over to God. He's been teaching for 3 years. He ceased not to intercede for them, to pray for them with tears, both day and night. And now the time of his departure is at hand. He's not getting ready to die. He's getting ready to leave. And he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's what the word of God does. When you study it, when you learn it, when you read it, when you can regurgitate it, and most importantly, when you can understand it. I'd rather you understand it than be able to quote it. It is able to build you up and give you and give you. There it is. Take it. He's offering it to you right now. He's offering it to you right now. Here's my peace. Not the peace of the world. Here's my joy. Here's my abundance. Here's my provision. Jehovah Jireh, I'm your provider. Here it is. I'm offering it to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It is the word that is able to build you up. It is the word. It is the word of God that is able to build you up. It's not there to make you dance. You might dance, but that's God is not giving you the word for you to dance. He's giving you the word to build you up, to do construction on your life. And sometimes reconstruction on your life. That's what the word does. It reconstructs what was torn down. It reconstructs it. It's able to build you up. You need to be built up. Get in the word. Your faith needs to be built up. Get in the word. Your confidence needs to be built up. Get in the word. Your power needs to be built up. Get in the word. The word, he said, is able to build you up. It's the word which gives you an inheritance in Christ. It unlocks the inheritance for you. It unlocks the inheritance for you. It unlocks the inheritance for you. Why do you think that we call it the New Testament? Have you ever noticed on a will it's called the last will and testament? In other words, whoever has willed this to you, this is their testimony toward you. This is their will toward you. This is the last will and testament. So when somebody dies, you go to the lawyer's office and he pulls out the will and he reads you the last will and testament. That's what this is. This is the New and Old Testament. The last will and testament is offered up to you. It's offered up to you. And it's more than the book. It's more than the book. Like, for instance, if you go to the lawyer's office, he pulls out the paperwork, he reads you the last will and testament. The last will and testament is written, but it's not the written part that is what you inherit. It is what is written is what unlocks what you inherit. So if I will my children the house, and he's reading the document, and he says, he willed you the house, they don't walk out with the paper. Without understanding that it is through the paper that you gain access to the house. We have run off with the book, but we're not getting what the book says belongs to us. So, Jesus, when he's preparing to die at the Last Supper, he says that the New Testament is in his blood. Take, eat the bread. Do this in remembrance. This is my body that was broken for you. Take, drink of the cup. This is the New Testament in my blood. New Testament in his blood. What does that mean? Hebrews clears it up and makes it quite clear. It says that the testament is not enforced until the testator dies. I have things willed to my children right now. They can't have them. You know why? I'm not dead. When I die, it will be theirs. Because the testament is not enforced until the testator died. When Jesus died, everything God willed to me became accessible by his grace. You are not just a church member. You are not just a Christian, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian. Church of God in Christ. No. It's deeper than that. You are an heir of salvation. All of those other names I just named, we can date when that started. Most of them in the last few hundred years. But 2,000 years ago, he finished his will and testament and willed it to you. And the more you study the word and the more serious you get into the word of God, the more you begin to find out what's yours. If you don't study the word of God, you're going to be like the old lady in the hut who's doing without things. And the testament is hanging on the wall and she won't read it. This is why Bible class is important, because it helps to illuminate God's grace in your life. That you might grow thereby, that you might be strengthened thereby, that you might move into the things of God. Illumination. Illuminate. Shine a light on it so I can see it. Make me understand who I am in Christ Jesus. We spend most of our time wrestling with who we were, and almost none of our time walking in who we are. We spend most of our energies praying about where we were. We were aliens, and without God in this world. Didn't you just hear what I read to you in Ephesians? But you who were far off are now drawn nigh. He has adopted you into the family. When are you going to cry, Abba, Daddy, I'm in the family, and rest in the blessed assurance that you belong to him, and rest in the fact that he provides for his children, that things like healing and prosperity and peace and joy and love and promotion are just the children's bread. It is coming to you because of your relationship with him. Now, because of your relationship with him, every blessing emanates out of that relationship with God. So it's not that you ought to chase the blessing, but the blesser. Not the healing, but the healer. Not the prosperity, but the one who will you to prosper. Because it is only because of your relationship with the giver that you become a recipient. Go back to the prodigal son, and I'm almost finished. Go back to the prodigal son, and there he was living as if he were not who he was. Out in the hog pen, about to feeding the swine, and would have filled his belly with that which the swine did eat. And then the Bible says this amazing, illuminating, rejuvenating, resaturating word. It says he came to himself. Come to yourself. He said, wait a minute. I'm living like an alien. I'm living like I'm separated from the commonwealth of Israel. I'm living like I'm not who I am. He came to himself. And the moment he came to himself, the very next words he says is about his father. How many servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, even the servants in my father's house are not hungry. And I'm a son. I will arise and go to my, not to my blessing. I will arise and go eat. I will arise and go to the house. No, I will arise and go to my father. Because everything else I get comes as a result of being in relationship to him. He said, I would be better to be a servant in my father. When he gets home, he says, make me a hired servant. I'd be better to be a servant in my father's house than to be disconnected like this. Daddy, I'm coming home. Abba, Father, I'm not coming for the fatted calf and the ring and the robe. I'm coming back to you. The fatted calf and the ring and the robe are all the benefits of coming back to you. So in our text tonight, in our Bible study tonight, when it says that we have been adopted and that we are heirs and been joint heirs, it sets in levels the fact that just by virtue of me being adopted, I'm an heir. And then it connects me with the legitimate son and made me a joint heir with him, so that there is no distinction between what he gets and what I get. The substratum of the text is because we are tied together, we're joint heirs, because we're tied together, he says, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. Paul says, oh, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, joint heirs, and in the power of his resurrection. And then he concludes, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed, not on us, in us. Everything that you need comes from within you. You want the healing to come from within what God has done. You're healed in your spirit before you're healed in your body. You got peace on the inside before you have peace on the outside. It starts within before it comes out. It's happening right now. You prosper inside before you prosper outside. Your wealth is on the inside. Your dignity is on the inside. Your healing is on the inside. Your promotion is on the inside. It is revealed unto us by his Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you as I close this Bible class today and illuminate how much differently God has designed your life than where you are right now. And let's bring ourselves into divine alignment with what God has spoken over our life. My time with you tonight is spent too for the illumination of his grace, that you might see, and having seen that, you might go to him, Abba, and walk like the child of God you are, and move like a king's kid. I am teaching so that you might come to yourself. And you're going to do that by understanding this testament that the testator has left you. So every time you get a blessing, no matter what people say, you tell them it's in the wheel. You're driving the car, it's in the wheel. You're jogging around the lake, it's in the wheel. You got peace in the storm. How did you get the peace? It's in the wheel. It's in the wheel. I'm an heir. I'm an heir. It's in the will. Didn't you read the will? Didn't you read the will? I'm more than a conqueror. It's in the will. It's in the will. Bible class is what I love to teach. I love preaching. But Bible class is what I love to do, because teaching causes you to understand what has been willed to you. Take this prosperity. Take this healing. Take this blessing. Take this comfort. Take this joy. It's in the will. If Christ ain't worried, why are you? You're a joint heir with him. If he's not scared, why are you? You're a joint heir with him. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. Not trying to be accepted. We are already accepted in the beloved. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the illumination of his grace. May that grace change your perspective. May it bring you from the outside of the house into the household of faith, into the kingdom of God. May it take the drug dealer who feels uncomfortable in church. May it pull him from the outside and adopt him into the royal family until he feels comfortable sitting at the table with the king's kids because he's an heir of salvation. I know you've been out there without hope, without God in this world, aliens, feeling unworthy. Christ wants to adopt you into the royal family, and all you have to do is let him into your heart right now. And if you let him into your heart, he'll change your life. Some of you have been in church for years, but you've never been in Christ. You've experienced church, but you haven't experienced Christ. He wants to adopt you. He's chosen you. He selected you. When you birth a child, you get what you get. When you adopt a child, you chose them. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I want to end this Bible class praying for you that the gross wealth of this word would be illuminated in your spirit in such a way that a hunger would begin to build up in your heart to know more and read more of this will, of this testament, and that Christ in you is the hope of glory, and that you might understand that, and that it might strengthen you and undergird you and ease the angst that rises within you because you are no longer under bondage. You're no longer living in fear. You're no longer trying to be good enough to earn salvation. Salvation you have received, and because you have received it, you're going to walk in the newness of life. You're going to walk in the power of God. I'm Bishop T.D. Jakes, the senior pastor of the Potter's House, and I'm praying for you. Let me pray right now. Can I pray with you before I close? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every person under the sound of my voice who hears this message, who's been touched by this word, who needs desperately to come out of that shanty, that way of thinking, that mentality, that worldly way of thinking, that hopelessness, that despair, that anguish. It's not the drugs that's the problem. It's not the alcohol. It's not the sexuality. It's not the issues that they run to that are a problem. At the core of it all is that they need Abba. Let them experience you tonight. Let them come running to you tonight. Let them accept the adoption and make you Lord of their life. If you just simply pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood. I accept the inheritance and make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust God has blessed you today. I trust you understand. And all of you Christians out there that are going out there to do exploits, and you're going out there to do things, and I know you're running into opposition, and I know the times are tough, but I trust that you will have another kind of boldness tomorrow morning, because you understand that you're an heir and a joint heir. Doors will open for you, and you will walk through them because you know who your Father is. And knowing that gives you boldness. God bless you. Have a great night. Signing out.